we're in for a treat today, like I was saying. And it's such an honour to have Vicky Simpson with us this morning. Yeah, go on, give her a round of applause. Vicky is originally a Perth girl, but now a Sydneyite, married to Damien, the marathon man. Is he still slim as ever? Yeah. Vicky's an Italian Aussie. So just in case you're wondering where she gets a fire from, just think of Charlie and you kind of get an idea. But she has a great heart for seeing men and women fulfill their potential in Christ. Vicky's able to hear clearly from God about what he desires for his church and for people individually. It's an insightful gift. It's an ability to bring heaven down to earth for the situations that you and I are facing. Who's glad we got such a big God? And we have different talents in the church. And Vicky is one of those ladies that can hear from God precisely and clearly. And we're grateful for the prophet being in the house today. And Vicky teaches on how to hear from God and especially aspires to bringing the best out from our lovely women all around the world. Come on, women, give us a bit of a cheer. So please, can we stand to our feet? And let's give Vicky a real frio, well-earned welcome this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Please be seated. Make yourselves comfortable. Thank you, worship team. Let's appreciate the worship team, hey? I think I'm going to sign your pastor up as my PR manager. That was a beautiful introduction. I thought, man, I'm glad I'm here. I'd like to hear from this woman myself. That was awesome. I might get you to write my next bio. It's fantastic. So great to be here. And Nigel said it all. I don't really have to normally, you know, if it's been a while since I've been at a church, because I imagine there'd be many of you who haven't heard me before. Give me a wave. You haven't heard, you don't know who I am from a bar of soap. Beautiful. I love that. Just when I think I've saturated the nation, there's always more. There's always new people. So lovely to meet you. And so, really, Nigel did. He hit on all the high points. And so I'm sorry, single men. I am off the market. I am married. I know that's broken many of your hearts already. But I actually just tried to get a picture of marathon men. I was a bit late, though. I had this inspiration sitting on the front row. And maybe at Wellard. But if you want to look at my Instagram account, actually, if you're on Instagram, hashtag Speedy Simpson, then you'll see my marathon man. So I married an architect. I thought, awesome. There's another one in the house. I thought, wonderful, great earning potential. And about 4 years ago, he gave it mostly away to pursue his dream of being a long-distance runner. And people say, oh, is there money in running? I say, no, you did not go in to running for money. Usain Bolt, I think he's the only one who's made money out of running. But it's been an interesting journey. And so that's where Speedy Simpson is right now. My husband Damien, actually he's just finished 27 Ks around Centennial Park in Sydney. People say, do you run, Vicky? I think, firstly, do I look like I run? I don't think so. Secondly, I run to the cafe, I'll get a coffee, wait for him at the finish line. That's what I do. So there you go. Yes. Anyway, I'll get with the program. So I love the fact that I've come in at the beginning of a new year. My favourite time to preach, to be honest, in a church is either the beginning of a new year or at the end of a year. Because if I come in as the last speaker, I kind of promote myself as the first speaker for the next year. But when I am actually here at the beginning of a year, I just think I'm divinely positioned and sent to do something in the realm of the Spirit. So for those of you who might be visiting, I do have a prophetic ministry. A lot of people don't really know what that means these days. Simply means that I'm kind of, hooked up to heaven. I hear from God. I tell people who are visiting, like, the closest thing that you could probably reference is a psychic or a clairvoyant. The difference being this: I'm not talking to dead people. I'm not talking to spirit guides, angelic visitations, none of that. I'm hearing from heaven. I'm hearing from God. And this is the incredible thing, is that John 10:27 says that we all do. All his sheep hear his voice. So some people get a bit nervous when I start throwing the words clairvoyant and psychic in there, because I'm not one of them. But really, the fact is, a lot of people don't understand this word prophet anymore. When I got born again, came into the church, they were visible. And, you know, we knew who they were and when they spoke. But these days, we're kind of a little bit under the radar. But I'm no different to anyone here, so don't get nervous. You don't have to repent of your sins. I'm not worried about your sins. I've got enough of my own. There you go. And people get a bit anxious and a bit worried about, oh, I'm not all seeing, I'm not all knowing, only God is. I'm here, actual fact, I'll see you better probably than you see yourself. Because you see, through the eyes of God, I see your prophetic potential. I'm seeing a great bunch of people. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a great church. Actually, I have seen a church that has definitely shifted since the last time I was here. I'm like, seriously, no comparison. I mean, and they're telling me it was probably about 8 or 9 years ago. So I thought it was about 5, but boy, time flies when you're having fun. So I wouldn't argue with or dispute that. But I love what I'm feeling here. I love what I'm seeing here. And the message that I have today is going to encourage you. It's going to impart courage. Because who knows, you need courage in the year 2018. You need courage to do what God's calling you to do. You need courage to face the challenges that come flying at you like curveballs from nowhere. I mean, we're only in February. And I tell you what, I've got a number of friends across this nation who've already had some curveballs thrown at them. And all it takes is for you to be faced with something you haven't been faced before, and you can feel like you're a bit inadequate in the faith department. You can feel like your faith bucket is a little bit empty. You can feel possibly a little bit overwhelmed. And so I want to release faith today. I want to impart a gift of faith. I'm going to start with Hebrews chapter 12. Have you been there? I love it when the pastor brings a confirmation. That's always that's a good start. Actually, could I ask someone to grab me a glass? Is that possible? Just a preference in drinking out of the bottle. I've seen what it looks like on video, me drinking out of that thing. Not so elegant. Lipstick all over the place. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2 in the New King James Version says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." Everyone say Jesus. "The author and finisher of our faith." Hebrews 12, 2 in the New Living Translation says, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." Hebrews 12, 2 in the Amplified says, "Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity." What am I saying? I'm saying this: faith comes from Jesus, it ends with Jesus, and everything in between is Jesus. We don't have the power to create faith. You and I can't manufacture it or force it. Faith is much more than confidence or positive thinking. It's not about a bravado or a mask that pretends that things don't exist that do. Faith is a supernatural spiritual force which is given to us for free. For free. Title of my message is Free Faith. I felt like changing it to Free-O Faith. Free-O Faith. But some of you here today might have been carrying the weight and the pressure of faith, that you need to get more faith, that you need to build your faith. I used to preach a message where I likened faith to a muscle that used to grow as you worked it, kind of like at the gym. You know, you got You've got muscles that work according to the amount of work that you do. I actually repent of that message, and I now subscribe to a whole new paradigm when it comes to faith. Because if it was up to us to work it, it means it is of works. But faith is not of works. Faith originates not from my works. It originates from Jesus. Faith is not dependent on what I do. It's dependent on what he has done. Faith doesn't come from my efforts. It comes from heaven. And there is faith here today for no matter who you are, where you come from, what it is you're going through, what you're facing. You might not have even faced it before, and you feel like you don't have enough faith. I'm telling you here today, there is a faith that comes down from heaven. It comes from Jesus, and it's not based on your work, sweetheart. It's not based on how good you are or how bad you've been. It comes for free. Turn your neighbor and tell them that's good news. Romans 4:16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Oh, hello. It is of faith that it might be according to grace. Hear those two words being connected. Now, grace is that which comes for free. Grace is that which comes because you're not deserving. I'm here today to tell you that there's not one of us here under this roof who is good enough to deserve faith. I mean, there's not one of us who is clever enough to create faith. There is not one of you here today, and some of you are getting a bit twitchy, getting a bit nervous. Religious spirits hate this message. Because we like to think that somehow our spiritual situation is somehow that we can, in ourselves, that we are, you know, oh, it's got to be something we can do. It's got to be so. But you know what the flip side of that is? That we can never do enough. And there's a gentleman in the back row, and I'm seeing you nodding your head. You got your cap, Leighton Hewitt style, in the back. What's your name? Michael. I'm seeing today, God imparting a new measure of faith. It's for the next step you have to take. God's leading you, like Peter, out of the boat, going where you do not know where. It's doing what you've not known. It's stepping somewhere brand new. And you know what? God wants to release some pressure off you, because you can be a bit hard on yourself. You can think, oh, you know, I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. We all slip up. We all mess up. You know what? If it was based on reading the Bible through in a year, I'm totally and utterly stuffed, because I get to about Leviticus each year. I'm like, Pastor Nigel, the same. And I'm like, but God wants to set us free from this idea that we deserve it or work for it or earn it in some way by our religious act. Is anyone hearing me today? Because I'm here to prophesy. In 2018, the leash is off. The word God gave me for 2018 to speak to his church, the leash is off. Just picture a dog that's been on a leash. I mean, you can get the picture when they are unleashed. What do? They run. Freedom. And there are some religious leashes that we, the church, have still been yoked to. And it's purely because we haven't known any different. And I believe God's going to open our eyes to the things that have been weighing us down, the things we've been carrying that we don't need to carry, the weights that we don't need to be under. And there is a yoke that we are yoked to, but Jesus says that it is light, that it is easy. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And I am really troubled by the fact that we often just exchange one yoke for another. Yeah, some unholy weights for kind of holy weights. That burdens that we weren't intended or designed to carry. Jesus said, come to me, all you have, and I'm seeing in C3 Fremantle, just like dogs leashed, unleashed, whoosh, new energy, fresh vitality. Yeah, the word of the Lord to you is rise up. But I'm telling you what, it's hard to rise up when you've got some weights hanging around. It's hard to rise up when you're kind of weighted down. It's a bit like a hot air balloon. Hot air balloon only rises when the weights are released off it. Hey, the hot air inflates the balloon from the fire that is burning. Great analogy for a Christian, to be honest. Hey, you will rise and you will lift as the fire of God is burning on the inside of you and as the weights are removed. There's a gentleman, grey t-shirt, Pacific something or other. What's your name, mate? Chris. Anyone know Chris? Yeah, show Chris some love. Why am I picking Chris? So I was like, he just jumped out at me. That's all. That's just, you know, I haven't come in with any preconceptions or it's good to kind of demystify this stuff and show you how it's done. So, you know, it's just, boom, he just sort of lit up at me. But I just see, Chris, the Lord lifting off you today, a weight, a burden that's not yours to carry. You have a heightened sense of responsibility. But sometimes we feel responsible for things that aren't our responsibility. A little bit of a perfectionist thing about you. And, you know, perfectionism is a hard taskmaster. You know, perfectionism, you know, can cause us to suffer, to be honest. Spirit of excellence is another thing. Hey, where we're doing our best unto God, that's a different thing. But perfectionism, that thing like it's never enough and everything I've tried to do to fix it isn't working, I just see a weight that's lifting off you today, Chris. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I bind anxiety in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing right now, touching Chris right where he is, where there's been harassment and torment, even in your thinking. You're going to sleep well. And I just see 2018 being a great year for you in that you're just going to feel the rest and the peace of God because the leash is off and the weight is lifted. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? I have to be honest. Sometimes when I'm prophesying, I'm thinking, you know, this is the reality. I'm human and I can get it wrong. I have a pretty good strike rate these days, I have to be honest. But I'm always aware when I'm speaking to someone publicly, it's like there's no right of reply, you know. No one ever jumps up and says, well, no, that's not true, you know, which I felt like doing sometimes. And so for anyone who I prophesy over, I bring a word today, you have the right and the responsibility to judge it, to pray over it, to talk with your pastor about it. What did you think of that? So I'm very much giving impressions. I'm not hearing an audible voice. It's just like, I'm just feeling something. I put it out there. And what blesses you, Chris, you take. What, not sure about that. Just put it on the shelf. Whatever you hate it, be my guest. Chuck it away. It was someone else who jumped out at me. This couple here. What are your names? In the blue t-shirt. Ben? And Lavina? Avina. Is that with an A or an E? Avina. Don't cry for me, Avina. That's right. Look, God just highlighted you to me as well. Now, because God highlights someone to me doesn't mean the people he doesn't highlight that he doesn't love, right? It's not like a love favoritism thing going on here. And back in the early day, I used to feel the pressure to prophesy over everyone. Do you remember those days, Lynn? It was like, mate, you'll be going to midnight. Just about killed me. Every prophetic person I came with in Kuyov would say, you need to stop this. You remember those days? You've got to stop this, Rick. You're going to die. You're going to die. So, but God has need of you. That's what I hear the Lord saying. He has need of you. I see gift of God on your lives as a couple. There's leadership, but I like to use the word shepherding. You know, you're shepherds. I see a task, an assignment that God has for you. It's got your name on it. No one else can do it. It's like this Ben and Avina shaped space for you. And so I hear the Lord beckoning you, calling you. It's going to take a step of faith. It's going to take a trust. It's a trust test. You know, will you trust? Will you trust again? And I see as you meet with this assignment and you yield to it, I tell you what, this 30-fold fruitfulness, you've known. 60-fold. There was a season of 60-fold, but God wants you to enter a 100-fold fruitful season, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen as in this new assignment. And so, yeah, rise up. Don't be afraid. Rise up in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so it's a faith that it might be according to grace. Have I got a countdown thing or a time clock? Up, it's over there. Beautiful. Thank you. I see it. What time do you want me to finish, Reverend? 25 past. Beautiful. Oh, we can usher in the second coming in that time. That's double the time I get given at some other places. So therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace so that the promise might be sure. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a grace. And grace we receive because we ask. Because we ask. You might be facing something you haven't faced before. There might be even a long-term challenge, something you've been believing God for a breakthrough in, something you've been praying for years, something that hasn't shifted, something that hasn't changed. And maybe you're feeling like there's a deficiency. Perhaps you don't feel like you've got enough faith. If only I had enough faith, if only I had more faith, you can receive more faith. You can receive the grace of more faith by asking. In Luke chapter 11, don't worry, I didn't give you the scripture for this, it just came to me. But in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is speaking to fathers, earthly fathers, and he says to them, if you guys being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father love to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Just to those who ask. Yeah, to those who ask. I mean, for those of you today, and it's a physical condition, perhaps you have been given a diagnosis. There is something that you have not faced before and it looks impossible. Perhaps you're a bit frightened. You're anxious about the future because of a financial report. Or there's maybe stuff going on in your family, in your world, in your workplace. You just don't know how you are going to get to the other side. Can I encourage you? Ask the Heavenly Father for a gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift of faith. Ask for more faith. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It comes from no one else can create faith. No one else. It can come from nowhere except Jesus. Damien and I did some house sitting just before Christmas in a suburb in Sydney called Woollahra. Woollahra is very nice. It's a lovely suburb. And Woollahra has a lot of what I would call generational wealth. And so it's not just successful, wealthy people who live there. It's generally people who come from what we call in Sydney old money. It's interesting. Sydney's an interesting place. There's a bit of a class system in Sydney that you don't really experience in other parts of Australia. And when we... when we house sat in Woollahra, you know, it was interesting. It was a beautiful place. I thought, I could get used to Woollahra. But the reality is I'd probably more likely live in Paddington, where people who are more self-made wealthy people are going to live. Whereas Woollahra tends to be, that real estate has been in the family for a long time. That's just how it is. Well, some people think that spiritually, that there's like a place called spiritual Woollahra and people only have faith. They only have spiritual strength. They only have spiritual favor. They only have like the smile of God because they come from a certain place because their family is a certain way. I had a lady come up to me in a church I was in recently just weeping, feeling like she didn't qualify for the good things of God because of who she was, because of her culture, because of her background, because of some brokenness that she didn't qualify. But you know what? There's not one of us here today who was born with a spiritual silver spoon in our mouth. Not one of us came out of the womb speaking in tongues. Not one of us has an advantage or head start on anybody else. You might compare yourself to someone else and think, oh, well, they're spiritually strong. Oh, they just got it together. Oh, that person, you know, it's no wonder, you know, they're always getting blessed. They've always got breakthroughs, but that's just because it's them and I'm me and somehow I don't quite make the cut. You know, I don't quite, you know, in golf, making the cut. Yeah, some of you feel like you just will never make it because of who you are. And if I can totally today just give you a vision and a revelation that this whole kingdom of God business is that we are all favored. We are all kings and priests, that not one of us here today better than another. It's not like, okay, some of us feel like we're in the lower class of God's kingdom. And then some people, you know, they're just, for some whatever reason, they're just better. They're better. So they're on the next level. You know, they're greeting people at doors and they're running connect groups and then you get people, you know, and they're running, running churches, you know, and they're just obviously pastors, you know, Nigel and Andrea, doing what they're doing because they're better, right? You know, they're just obviously more holy, obviously, you know, just more spiritual. And then you look at people who are, you know, we think, oh, someone like Pastor Phil Pringle, someone like Brian Houston, someone who's like doing big things, Darlene Check. Tell me, I tell you, I know Darlene Check. She is an angelic visitation. She is. She's up there. If there's another. But you know, in the eyes of God, each and every one of you have access to what anybody else does. Everybody, without exception, without exclusion, it doesn't matter who you are. Are you hearing me? Because I'm just feeling some limitation, and I'm feeling there are some mindsets and some paradigms in this place that's rich. And I didn't have any of this in my notes, okay? None of this in my notes. I'm feeling this being drawn out of me because some of you have somehow been sold a lie of the enemy, which you subscribe to and which you are wearing, and God wants it off. It's a leash that has to come off. The leash is off. And there are some of you that God has going to use in incredibly significant and powerful ways, and you would think you were the least likely. And not only would you think you're the least likely, there might be others around you who think you're the least likely too. Yeah. But not in the eyes of God. Not in the eyes of God. And I'm looking at like a jewelry box with gemstones and diamonds, different cuts because of the different things you've been through, reflecting a different aspect of God's glory. Hey, shining where you are called to shine, wherever you are, wherever the rubber of your life hits the road, wherever in your community you are planted, that you're going to shine. You might have got those edges and facets and that from, you know, some tough times. I've got news for you. Tough times aren't going to stop. And I'm going to say this, I think we, even as a nation, are going to be throwing some curveballs. I do. But this is the good news, is that no matter what comes against us, no matter what is assigned against us, no weapon formed against us will prosper. And that there is, I'm letting you know now, I'm letting you know in advance that you can call to God. You might think, oh God, I don't know if I can cope. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Call to God for the faith that you need. I'm not saying that to scare you because, frankly, I've got no idea how that's going to look myself. I just have a sense that there's going to be curveballs and there's going to be the unexpected. And for those of you who know where faith comes from, you're going to be able to access what you need, not just to survive, but to thrive, not just to get through it, but for it to build you, for it to be to our benefit. I believe that which the enemy has intended for evil to the church in this nation is going to actually work for good. I really do. And it's like the devil, it's just like he said, oh, gee, if I had have known that crucifying Jesus was going to lead to this, I wouldn't have done it. Yeah? I reckon he's going to say, oh, if I'd known that was going to happen to the church in Australia, I wouldn't have tried to discourage them, wouldn't have tried to destroy them. I wouldn't have tried to. Gee, I'm getting heavy today. Perhaps I need to backtrack. You know, the prophet's really coming out today. But you have got what it takes, not just to survive, but to thrive. C3 Fremantle, you have what it takes, not just to survive, but to thrive. You have what it takes, not because of who you are, but because of who God is. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross. You now have access to whatever it is that you need. I see gifts of healing being released here today. Supernatural gifts of the Spirit that you can go out and you can use. See, gifts of faith for others. I'm not talking about the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts of faith today, because that is the gift for others. That's a gift for others. But we're talking about faith. That which we all need to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. That kind of faith. Hey, the faith to believe God for yourself, to believe God for each other, the faith to get through, the faith to be all you've been called to be. That faith, I'm feeling it in, I feel something rumbling in this place. I'm feeling something moving in the spirit realm. I'm feeling a momentum. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling, you know, like this. You know when humidity builds and builds and builds and then there's rain? That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling a change in the barometric pressure in this house. Now I need to go and Google what that actually means because that just came out of my mouth. So faith is not independent of Jesus. Jesus is the author, but he's also the perfecter. He's also the perfecter. In Mark chapter 9, there was a father who had a sick child, was tormented by demons in actual fact, would have epileptic fits but would be thrown into the fire and just a terrible situation. The father was so heartbroken, so distraught, so troubled. He tried to get the disciples to pray for his son, but nothing changed, nothing worked. Went to Jesus on one occasion and he tells Jesus, I have this child and not even your disciples could do anything about it. Anyone else experience that? Hey, you have the best pray for you. You've had the best. Yeah, other people, nothing seems to be shifting. Nothing seems to be changing. Well, that happened for this father. Jesus asked him the question, asked him whether he believed, because all things are possible to those who believe. And he says this, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And you know what happens next? And this is really good news. If you remember nothing else than this, his son gets healed. His son gets healed. But is it interesting? He gets healed on a confession, not just of belief, but also unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Some of us have the idea like if we put a step wrong, if we put a word wrong, some of you are living under condemnation of a past failure, thinking, if only I had have believed more, if only I had have said more, if only, you're blaming yourself. I'm seeing some of you living under the weight of self-blame because you think, well, if only I hadn't confessed that, there's someone in particular and you're from a very religious kind of background, very legalistic background, and you have blamed yourself for something that took place in the past and you feel like a spiritual failure. But God wants you to know that he doesn't want you under that anymore. He does not want you under that oppression anymore. Today, free, the leash is off in Jesus' name. Because this father came to Jesus, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. He didn't rebuke him. Jesus did not rebuke him because he had a confession of unbelief. I reckon Jesus responded to the authenticity of his heart. And if I was to be honest, I live in that zone probably most of the time. Hey, we all do. Can anyone else relate to, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief? Yeah? Yeah? I think it's in our best interest to be honest. I think it's in our best interest to be real. And I don't know what transpired in the spirit realm between his confession to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And there are a lot of commentaries online. They've got all sorts of different takes on this. But it is of my opinion that in his admission, Lord, I believe, help. Help my unbelief. He's praying the prayer that I've been encouraging you to pray. Lord, I acknowledge faith comes from you. You are not just the author, but you are the perfecter. And for the most part, we live in that space where, Lord, we believe, but don't feel like we believe enough. Lord, we've got faith, but gosh, it's getting stretched. Gee, it's getting challenged. Goodness, the pressure is on. And in that place, Jesus does not reject you. He does not rebuke you. He does not withhold from you. This is good preaching. He says to you, let it be done. Let it happen. He comes and he meets you just as he did with this child and set him free. He got a miracle on a confession of not just belief but unbelief. But the key word was help. The key word was help. There are some of you here today and you just need to bring your need into the light. You're struggling. Oh, my goodness. You are struggling out there by yourself and you're living, as it were, under a, you know, you're hiding. I'm just having a picture of some of you and you're kind of shielding yourself because you're ashamed. So you're ashamed. If only they knew really what I was wrestling with. If they only knew really how I felt about God. Mate, not enough time and tissues to tell you some of the things I've been through or to tell you some of the things that I've said to God. I mean, just, you know, this really, if you had have come, who remembers Mary and Martha, death of Lazarus, their brother? If you had have been here, Jesus, our brother would not have died. I've had conversations like that with God. If you had have been here, this would not have happened. If you had have, you know what? I've discovered God wants us authentic. He wants us to bring things into the light because that is where he can meet with us. That is where. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Come, he gives grace to who? To the humble. This gentleman in the back, I love to be the person who picks people out towards the back. Some prophets come, they just point out the people in the front. I'm long-sighted. I actually see you guys at the back better than I see these guys at the front. They're in a bit of a blur, a bit of a haze. I'm seeing you in the back row really sharp, in actual fact. This gentleman there with the beard. Yep. What's your name, mate? Ross. Who? Anyone know Ross? Yeah? Yeah? Charlie knows Ross. Ross, I see you coming before the Lord and telling him, God, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, and I see it's like X marks the spot. And it's like it's right, that spot is right where you are, right where you're at in your relationship with God. Same, not enough time or tissues to go through some of the things that you've been through. But God knows what you've been through, but he's really interested about where you are right now. And in opening up your heart where you are right now, I can see God meeting you and giving you the wherewithal, giving you the grace, giving you the strength. I see some family relationships that have been a bit strained, been misunderstandings. It's been very grievous. It's been really heartbreaking. That's good. I like a man who gives me some feedback. Thank you. But that's true. It's true. I'm feeling there's been some dysfunctions and some hurt and pain. The Lord wants to give you a strategy forward. He wants to give you some wisdom. You're going to think of something. Yeah, I never thought of doing that before. It's the Lord dropping an idea from heaven. He wants to bring healing into those relationships. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I have the worship team return, please? The man received a miracle, the healing of his son. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, you know, Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word, it says in John chapter 1. But I want us to focus on these first two words. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, faith comes. Turn to the other one you ignored the first time and tell him, faith comes. You know what it's like when someone comes to your house? They weren't there 1 minute, the next moment they're there. Yep, someone comes to visit or a parcel arrives. It's come. Here it is. It wasn't there before. Faith comes. It doesn't matter if you haven't had faith before now. Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. By hearing. That's why I've come. So you've got something to hear. I'm believing as you hear that faith is coming. Gentleman in the check shirt, what's your name? Harry? Harry, you related to this lady? Just a friend, just checking. I can so get it messed up sometimes when it comes to those things. Harry, I'm hearing the Lord saying, it's a new day. It's a new day. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord, a new thing. Seeing a lot of pain from the past, but God has a way of turning our pain into gain. Even, oh my goodness, the most inconceivable pain. I often say he turns our lemons into lemonade. Harry, I believe, I see one particular lemon, one particular thing that went down in your life that was really sour, left a sour taste in your mouth. I see God bringing healing right now, even healing to your heart. There are friends. I see friends for you, friends who you'll be able to trust. Yeah. Who'll accept you for who you are, not for what they can get, for who you are. I'm seeing God connecting you in a family. It says that there's a scripture that says he puts the solitary in families. I'm just seeing that speaks to me just of connection and knowing and being known and belonging. I speak belonging into your heart. You belong. You fit. You fit, even when you don't feel like it. It's not true. You fit. It's a new day. It's a new day in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I've been talking about, faith, to believe. It's a substance. It's not just positive thinking, I mean, we do have a responsibility in all of this. I'm sounding like, it's all up to God. Well, our responsibility is simply to cooperate with God. That's our responsibility. It's to cooperate with God. But we can't do what only He can do. That's what I want you to see the difference. Some of you are weighted down with false responsibility. Stuff that you can't make yourself more spiritual. You can't make yourself more holy. Jesus does that when we receive Him. You see, it's nearly 40 years ago. I was in a church in Morley. Morley AOG, on a Christmas Day service. And I heard a message, heard a preacher kind of like me, and he was talking about abundant life. And he said this. He quoted from John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I mean, you know what? I had wanted to go to church for some time, but I didn't feel I was good enough. I honestly didn't feel like I was good enough to go to church. No one invited me. It wasn't like I thought that it was an open invitation at every church door. I just took myself to a church, to be honest, that advertised in a newspaper. That is the least most common way that people usually come to know Jesus, through advertising. But I'm one of the 1%. And I heard a message about abundant life. I thought the penny dropped. I wasn't quite sure what I was looking for. I knew something was missing. I was only 19 years old, but you can do some dumb things before you're 19. And I knew something was missing. And this invitation to receive abundant life. I thought, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. And the pastor said this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. Now, I was brought up a Catholic. Christened, first Holy Communion, confirmed. But I wasn't, by this stage, I wasn't even a Christmas and Easter Catholic. We were just weddings and funerals Catholics. That's the only time we went into a church. And so I'm not bagging the Catholic Church in any way. Quite like this current Pope, to be honest. But wasn't speaking to me where I was at in that season. And I had no idea that by simply opening up my heart and admitting my need for God, that at that moment I would enter into a whole new life. Not just a new season, a new life. That at that point when I said, Jesus, I need you, Jesus said, I'm right here for you. His Holy Spirit, I'm pouring into my spirit. Something supernatural happens when you actually open up your heart and admit your need for God. It's not just saying, I'm going to be a good person from now on. I'm going to go to church and I'm not going to go do bad things. I'm going to do good things. No. What happens is you relocate. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you relocate. You change spiritual address. You go from death to life. You go from darkness to light. And when I did it that day, 1980, I had a God encounter. And I received Jesus. I became a child of God. And I don't know you all here today. I'm not going to assume that because you're here in church on a Sunday that you know Jesus, that you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, that you know what it is to be living as a child of God. I'm not going to assume because you're sitting here that you're all at peace with God. It'd be very remiss of me if I did not give you an opportunity to consider your spiritual condition and to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer along with me to receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. That it would no longer be God from a distance. I hate that song with a passion because he's not from a distance, never has been. He is more closer to you than the person sitting next to you. And he is here today. For some of you, he's knocking on the door of your heart and he's saying, let me in. Let me in. It's time. It's time to surrender. It's time. Vicky, I don't really understand it all. Doesn't matter. Neither did I. All I knew was that I was given an invitation to receive Jesus and abundant life. And it really kind of went like this. Lord, if you're real, if what I'm hearing is the truth, I'm in. And as I did that, I never forget, for me, I wept and wept. It's like something lifted off me. And I skipped out of that church like a spring lamb. I honestly, and my family thought it was a phase. They thought it's another phase, because I was renowned for them. Never stuck at anything. Had just recently dropped out of university at that stage. I tell you what, nearly 40 years later, longest stage I've ever been in. Best decision I ever made, because it was like that which was missing. I feel like I'm talking to someone in particular here today. That which was missing was filled, was complete when Jesus came into my life. He is not dead. He is alive. He's not against you. He is for you. He loves you, each and every one of you. I don't care. You could have done the worst thing known to man. He loves you. And there is forgiveness. He wants to give you peace. There's someone here today, and yes, you've opened up the door before, but you've shut it. You've shut it for whatever reason. I don't know. You got disappointed. You got discouraged. Something happened, and you shut that door. Maybe you say, Vicky, I know what you're talking about, but I'm not living like it anymore. I want to give you an opportunity to come back. To come back for a fresh start. Let the past go. Let it go. I'd love you all just to close your eyes for a moment and to really have a think about this question. Where are you at with God? Where are you at? Do you know him? Would you like to? Can you feel that, like, something's happening? Your heart's pounding. I feel like you're talking to me. Because there's someone here, and today, this might be the first time that you've ever prayed a prayer where you receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Saviour. Or you might be here and you say, Vicky, I have prayed that prayer before, but I've walked away. I'm not living like it anymore. I don't know what's going on. But you know what? What matters today is what you do now. And I believe the Lord is saying, come back. Come back. So if that's you, you say, Vicky, you're talking to me. Whether you want to receive Jesus for the first time or another time, I'm going to ask you in a moment to do something. I'm going to simply ask you to just raise your hand, give me a wave. I'll ask you to then put down your hand, and I'm going to lead us all in a prayer right where we are. Does that sound good? So if that's you, say, Vicky, you're talking to me. I need to get right with God. I want to receive Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Is anybody else here? God bless you. Anybody else? You say, yeah, Vicky, you're talking to me. God bless you. Anybody else? I feel like there could be a couple more. You can put down your hand when I've seen it. Bless you, sweetheart. Oh, Lord, thank you. Remember I said that something powerful happens when we admit where we're at? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. There's some of you here, and that's in regards to your faith in God. That statement applies to you and your relationship with God. And you can come today to him. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Because as you come, something's going to happen. Something will happen in your heart. I just feel like I'm waiting for just a couple more people. And you know, you need to come back. Jesus, God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, sir. It's wonderful. I'm just feeling there's someone else, and you know, it's like you took Jesus out of the driver's seat of your car. You don't feel like you can trust him with your life anymore. Yeah, you still love him. You know, you're still coming to church. But if you were to be honest, I mean, he's there in the passenger seat. Or he might even be there in the boot. You're just very nervous about what God expects of you. You're just very scared about giving your life fully to the Lord. I used to think he's going to send me to Africa or something. He might send me to India. But you know what? The best life possible. I'll tell you what, I never would have thought of this life. My goodness. It's incredible. Abundant life. One last time. Who wants to join these ones? You say, Vicky, I know, today. That's it. God bless you. Everyone who raised their hand, can we just raise them one more time together? Everyone who lifted your hand. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to pray this prayer. For those of you who have your hands raised, we're all going to pray this prayer together, but I'd love those of you, the rest of us, to pray as well. Can we do that? Let's pray right now. That's it. Hands still going up. Can we all pray this prayer together? Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for me to give me life. And right now, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I've ignored you and live life my own way, but today I choose your way. I thank you that you love me and you have great plans for my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Awesome. Yeah, come on. Great decision. I know for many of you, you're at different stages of the journey, but for whatever reason, you raised your hand because God was speaking to you. God is going to meet with that decision. I want to pray one more thing before I hand it back. And it's simply for those of you, and you know that you need more faith. Because of what you're facing, what you're going through. Gentleman here in front of me, what's your name? Sonny. I hear the Lord say, don't give up. Don't give up. And I see a gift of faith coming right now. So you won't. It's going to get better. You know what they say, the darkest part of the day is before the dawn. It's a bit of a cliche, but it's actually true. My experience of being the times, honestly, last year I went through a season and it was like, as you might know, the year before. And it was like, God, if I don't wake up tomorrow, I won't mind. It was pretty dark. Oh my goodness. When you're in those spaces, those places, you kind of lose sight of the fact that life does change. Life does change. It is going to be different. It is going to get better. I just see a pressure that's been on you breaking. Oh, and you're going to see things differently. And that which seems big and insurmountable is actually going to seem doable. It's like a mountain. It's like, man, I can't climb Everest. That's Everest, man. I'm not going to make that. But I see, even as you wake up tomorrow, that mountain is going to seem a bit smaller. It's going to seem a bit smaller, and then a bit smaller, and then a bit smaller. And I see hope and the sun shining on your day. All will be well, Sonny. All will be well in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all just stand and let me pray for you all. Yeah, because you all, I believe God wants to give to C3 Fremantle a gift of faith. I believe God wants to lift and raise the water table of faith here. And when people come into the atmosphere of this church, it's going to be easier to believe than not believe. What do you reckon? Father, right now, I want you to come. I want you to lift your hands and just, there might be something that's challenging you right now, an area. Something that looks impossible, something that you don't know if you're going to get through it, something that has been perhaps of long standing, something might be recent, but something might have been going on for ages. There are business people with financial pressures. There are families, marriages under pressure. I don't know what it is today. Even faith for your future, for your destiny, for the call on your life. It doesn't look like it's anywhere near being activated or fulfilled. Father, right now, you see every person here today. Lord, you see the faith needs in their heart. God, you see the heart of this church. And Father, I thank you. Jesus, you are the author. You are the perfecter. And I thank you, Lord, on behalf of C3 Fremantle and these people, I ask for a gift of faith. I speak a release right now to faith. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Repeat it after me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And again, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. One more time with a big loud voice. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Father, I thank you. You've heard the cries of their hearts, and I speak right now, God, a release of faith to believe what they've not believed before, to receive what they've not received before. Father, that C3 Fremantle will be known as that place with faith. That place with faith. That place with faith. Father, we receive it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, hey, come on, give the Lord a great hand of praise.
Thanks, Vicky.